Y'all didn't have to applaud that, but I appreciate it. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of the word. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to be able to gather together this morning around your word. And we just come with expectation, Lord, that whatever needs we have, Lord, that you'll minister to us. We ask, Lord, that your blessing as we study through the book of Hebrews this morning. And bless Brother Wade as he's studying back there, Lord. Grant it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 6, we've been studying through, Hebrews chapter 6, which Paul's really getting into the topic of anointed ones. So we'll just kind of finish that up and dive into that a little bit more this morning. And so let's read, starting at verse 4. It says, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift." So he's talking about people that have tasted of the heavenly gift, experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost on their spirit and their work, you know, in church, and have recognized things like there's a message for the age, and we're partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again in repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And so crucifying the Son of God is when you're not just leaving, but you're turning around and lashing back at it. You're rejecting the word. And of course, that's what happened when they crucified Jesus to begin with, was they crucified and they put him on the cross because they rejected what he stood for. They rejected his word. They didn't believe that he was who he said he was, and they didn't believe the message that he was bringing for the earth. Now, here's kind of the clincher. We're talking about rain. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, that the rain comes and falls on the earth, and the earth just soaks it up. And in the earth, you've got a lot of different seeds coming up. You got good and bad, and thorns and briars and wheat and everything coming up, and they're all drinking of that rain. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But see what Brother Brandon will get to is as we study this out. And what Paul's trying to point out is, just because you come to church and you get a blessing doesn't necessarily mean that down on the inside that soul has received the word. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. So you can see the evidence of what an individual is or what a plant is by the fruit that it's bearing. Because, you know, Brother Brandon, in one place he said, your fruit is your doctrine. Your fruit, right. It grows up and it manifests itself. It comes out and it manifests. The doctrine is actually alive now. So you can see, you can taste the fruit of another person's believer's life. Amen. So when you're bearing thorns and briars, instead of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and all those kind of things, then thorns and briars is what's rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So, you know, last time we talked about, Paul talking about it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. And one way of looking at that is as the light is going to go, the light travels from age to age, and you've got to keep pace with it. And so the people that followed Martin Luther, they eventually along they denominated and they cabbaged down. And they said, "Well, now we've got it," and they failed to move along with the light as it progressed. That's really what a denomination is when you cabbage down. And you say, "Oh, we got it. We got the understanding," and fail to see that God is continuing to move on. And like Paul's talking, as he starts talking in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 6, God is trying to move us to perfection. Yes. He's trying to move the whole church to perfection. Right. All down through the seven church ages, the light is moving on to bring us to a place where we're one with Christ to perfection. So you got to keep pace with it. And you know, if you don't keep pace with it, then all those types of you can't live by manna that's been stored up, and you've got to stay with a present tense reality, a present tense message. John Wesley come along and he preached, corresponding to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That God was able to take a believer and sanctify him and make him live a holy life and make him get rid of all the things in the world and start where Martin Luther would be smoking a pipe and so forth and sitting in a pub talking about the gospel. But yet John Wesley come along and he began to believe in a sanctified holy life. And see, it's building up. We don't get away from those things, those foundational precepts that we're living. God wants us to live a holy life, a set apart life. And then Azusa Street, moving on up to the restoration of the gifts. So the gospel is like, it's like the Spirit is like a light that illuminates the Word and makes it live. And so Brother Ram said, for it is impossible, when he was explaining the scripture, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and didn't move on with the Word as it come to pass. They are dead gone. And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned. So you see what happens when you don't keep pace with the Word. What happens is they cabbage down, and they said, well, this is it. And they failed, and there came to a place where God said, I'm going on. I'm leaving. You're not keeping pace with me. So that whole question that keeps coming up, or can you be born again in a denomination and things? You know, let me maybe just kind of think about, there was a time where F.F. Bosworth, I don't know if he ever came to the realization that Brother Branham was a believer, but I believe he was born again, and Brother Branham would sit under him and listen to the things he said, and he was a great influence to him, but yet I believe he was a real born-again believer. And see, you've got those overlap times. You've got the overlaps where somebody like Billy Graham or Roberts really could, that God would be moving in their life, and they had a part to play. And there's times of overlap, but you've got to keep moving on, because sooner or later, God is going to leave you behind, and so you got to keep moving on. That's the main thing. And this morning in church age, Brother Ram said, now we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the Word for the age in which he lives. To receive the Word for the age. So now, if you really want to get down, like when John Wesley began to preach, they couldn't in that age say, well, we're just going to stay with Martin Luther's understanding. Or when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was restored on Azusa Street, it would be dangerous to try to stay back, to keep back with the Methodist understanding. So, like in Revelation chapter 3:22, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And last time we were talking about, if you want to know what God's saying, you've got to get under the message of your day, of your age. That's the only way that you're going to hear what the Spirit wants for you to understand. So again, what you get back? What's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? And in each age, there was a group of people that were called out, that listened to the word of their porter, that opened up the door, a way of escape, and they heard that message, and they sat under that message and were subject to it. As the word went out, and you receive it, and you bear fruit for that age. So that's really the evidence. So if you taste of the good things and you fall away and you don't keep going on with the word and you or you know that the example so that Paul's saying if have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the God, Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. So we've got all these examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament of those that didn't keep pace with the word, that didn't go on like Cain. Cain did not get under subjection to the word of his day, which was Abel's message that we need a lamb. It's blood. The problem was life. The problem from the beginning was life, and there's got to be something to pay the price for us. And so he failed to get under subjection to the word, and Dathan and Korah following Moses, they failed to realize that God wanted them to go into the promised land and that Moses was the one to take them. So they failed to get under subjection to the word of the day, and Balaam going around acting like he was acting like a believer, a religious hypocrite, and trying to get everybody together and say, we're all one. That was his message. Not that the 10 lying spies that hung around and failed to go into the promised land. You see the example of all these. They were in church, we'll say that. They were going along with the other believers, but yet they rejected the word. So what's it come down to? Word rejectors. And in the New Testament, we've got Caiaphas prophesying while they were on the hanging Jesus on the cross. But yet he was over them that crucified Jesus, and Judas that hung around until the very last, hung around with Jesus, going along and carrying the money with for all the disciples, and casting out devils, and and preaching the gospel and doing all those kind of things. You know, that's kind of it's a scary topic. It should be something to, you know, make us examine ourselves and examine our lives. So look at what Brother Branham said I think this was the Church Age book. He said, "No one denies that the Spirit of God manifesting in gifts is upon them. But like Balaam, they all have their programs, make their appeal for money, exercise gifts, but deny the word or bypass it for fear that a controversy might diminish their chances for greater gain." So instead of interest in the word, and knowing that one's going to be interested more in money and gifts and programs and things like that, again, see that the word is a central thing. The word is what makes the difference. Yet they preach salvation and deliverance through the power of God, just like Judas with a ministry imparted by Christ. But because they are wrong seed, consequently they have a wrong spirit motivating them. You see how the seed, the word that's planted, actually is what will makes a way for the spirit to become active in your life. So if the wrong seed is planted, then the wrong spirit will be motivating you. But if the right seed is planted, then the right spirit will be motivating you. That's actually, you know, sometimes you'll think, well, I wonder if the spirit is with us. Well, if the word is with us, if you've got the right understanding, the right attitude toward the word, then the spirit will be with you. So if you ever want, you're feeling like maybe you get to feeling down or something, well, do like David did when they ran and kidnapped his wives and kidnapped everything. And he said, "Bring me the ephod." He turned back to the word for that day. The word is the main thing. Religious, oh my, they outshine the elect in effort and zeal, but it is Laodicea and not of Christ. For it looks for big crowds, big programs, and startling signs amongst them. You see how the evidence of success in the gospel is not a lot of people or a lot of big programs or a lot of money. Success in the gospel is, are you overcoming? It doesn't matter if you have a lot of people around you or a lot of money or you're a big successful preacher. Success in the gospel is the gospel having an effect in your life. Are you overcoming? Because if you're overcoming and you're preaching to a stream and eating soda crackers or whatever, that's all that matters. All that matters is that you have given yourself to God and He's using you. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of impersonations, but we want the genuine. He said they preach the second coming of Christ, but deny the advent of the prophet messenger, though in power and signs and true revelation, He eclipses them all. This false spirit that in the last day is so close to the real can be distinguished only by its deviation from the word. And whenever it is caught in being anti-word, it falls back on the one argument we have already shown to be false. We get results, don't we? We have to be of God. Now that doesn't mean, so you read this, maybe a trap we fall into sometimes is, you know, Jesus said, don't uproot people. Wait till they grow up and harvest, then God will take care of it. But we have a tendency sometimes to go grabbing people and just pulling them, plucking them out of the earth and tossing them over. But you just wait, and things will manifest in time. Amen. And, you know, he said, they'll say, we get results, don't we? Well, that don't mean results is bad. I want to see results in my life. But again, it comes down to the differentiator is the word. Look at the word. Just because somebody's saying that we get results and preaching some false doctrine, now that's where you gotta raise your eyebrows and maybe take a step back. But the word will bring results. And the main thing is the word. The word is the seed, and the seed will bring the right spirit. The right seed will bring the right spirit, and the right seed will bring the right kind of results. So Brother Ram said, now this is the quote so many people have stumbled over the years. And this is what Paul's getting at. Now we're not getting away from what Paul's talking about. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So Brother Ram said in the message leadership, he said, many of you think I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. Mm-hmm. The Bible says so. I hope that doesn't choke anybody this morning. But that's a big statement in it. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life. So there we can see there's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth.
Right.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost has got to have something to quicken. But you've got the seed planted, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost will give you a birth.
Right.
When the rain falls, it's got to have some seed. And if there's wrong seed planted, then it's not going to be able to quicken the way that God wants it to. But if you've got the right seed planted, if you've got a wheat seed planted, when the rain falls, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is going to bring up that right seed, and it's going to manifest. It's going to quicken a real, genuine life. So what's the most important thing? The most important thing is the word. If you get the word sown down and you hold on to that word, and maybe there's questions and things, but you hang on to that word, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost will quicken it. It'll make it real.
Amen.
Now, see, there's so many examples in Scripture of false. Now, Brother Brown, or the Bible says in Mark chapter 3 that he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now, there you got Jesus moving around with Judas with the 12, and he's a devil to begin with. And yet he's going around with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit moving in his life, the Spirit has given him power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And he's going around preaching the gospel, but yet false down on the inside. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." But Brother Branham in the Message and Only One said that the very elect won't be deceived because they will be the Word. And if you are the Word, how can you be deceived? Because you know what you're looking for. You know the differentiator. The thing that makes the difference is the Word. In Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you." Now look what Jesus is getting to. The rain falls on the just and unjust. But before he gets to that, he lays out this pattern. I know there's going to be, he's saying, I know there's going to be fakers. I know there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. But listen, you got to love everybody. You can't just go around yanking people up and toss them into fire and say, well, throwing people out. You be careful with throwing people out. But he said, but I say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's an example of a real believer. When you can show love to somebody that disagrees with your doctrine, that don't like you very much, or that shuns the way that you believe or the way that you think. He said that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So there you got another example of rain falling on all different kinds of seeds, falling on the earth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost falling on people that have no seed planted, false seed planted, the genuine seed planted, and it's going to bring up what's been planted. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now, Brother Brown, we talked about this story. Maybe I'll go through this fast, quickly, but I think we're all familiar with the story that he talked about in Anointed Ones of the two believers in that Pentecostal meeting. That and one was not living right, and one was genuine. And he said, here were two men, one of which was a real believer, and the other was a sinful impersonator, yet both were manifesting gifts. And brother, and God showed him in Hebrews chapter 6, the chapter that we're studying, he gave him the example of that situation where he was real perplexed. How can this one be speaking in tongues and this genuine Holy Ghost be moving in his life? But yet I know by discernment that he's living with a woman that's not his wife, or I forget the specifics of the situation, but he was not living right. And so he looked to Hebrews 6 and he saw that the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the genuine seed, and then another sower went behind him and sowed another, the fake, the tares, and the After a while, the tares came up, and the wheat and tares grew together, and they partook of the same nourishment out of the same soil, and they drank in the same sun and rain. Isn't that interesting that both kind of seeds can partake, can get a benefit out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but one can be genuine and one can be false? And in the Bible, we've got the parables that that Jesus told of a different kind of... Something's moving in my backyard. I keep getting notifications. Jesus told that parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the sower that sowed the different kinds of, sowed the seed, and the seed. Now the way Brother Branham explained it, he'd say some of it fell by the wayside, and he said like water on a duck's back, it just run right off. A bird will carry it away, and it's just like water on a duck's back. But some of the seed fell on rocky ground, stony ground. It just had a little dust that blowed up there and sprung up, but it didn't have no roots, no place to put its roots. And he said, now I'm going to make illustrations here, and I hope I don't hurt no feelings. See, that was the Catholic Church who thought they were a rock. He said they thought they were they was built on a rock. That's what they said. And he said, I'll agree with them. I sure will agree with them. No earth under it at all, no earth on it to grow from. Why? It couldn't produce it. And then some fell on the Protestants' ground. But after a while, the great wisdom of the big denomination choked it out. You see how you got to be careful with cabbaging down on the little bit of understanding that we got. When you say, well, I got it, and put a period behind it and won't move on, then how's the seed going to come up? It just gets choked out. But if we'll have a real... Now see, the real good ground. Let's look and listen to see what Brother Brown, how he explained this. He said, some fell in the valley of persecution. Oh, man, when the ground is all tilled up, when people are treating you wrong, and you just get all broken down, and you got to get along with God, and the ground's all tilled up, and you get to you got a broken and a contrite heart, and you're ready to receive that word. You get to a place of desperation, and you're like, God, I've been sitting around maybe in the church for a long time, but something's got to give. I need something that's real, something that's genuine. And he said, now in the valley is where you find the water, the best soil. When you take somebody has been beat down till he's got all the theology beat out of him, laughed out of him, made fun of him, where he's been through the mills and ground it all out of him till the metal has been ready to work, you'll find out there is some moisture around there. That's right. Into the valley, that fellow has been pitched over into the valley, kicked out of his organization. He's down in the dumps, they call it. Not the dumps, but the valley, we're taught. Down in the valley, you know. That's where the lily grows, you know. That's right. In the valley. Some fell in the valley of persecutions, hard trial. Some of them seed fell in their valley of persecutions, hard trials. He called everything like the lily was called. Beelzebub, made fun of. And that, in that good ground of seed being sown and a receptive heart, is where it'll come up, where Jesus said, he that received good seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, somebody that's ready to receive it, and understandeth it. So, you see, what really gives you rest is when you understand the word. What really gives you confidence is when you understand it. You can go along and you don't. Maybe you come to church and you don't understand what's being preached. But then one day, the Spirit just comes and just quickens it because you've been hanging on to it and you've held it and you understand. So there's your evidence. He that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All down through the church ages, different groups of believers have brought forth different amounts. But I believe in this church age, you're going to bring forth a bountiful harvest. You're going to bring forth an understanding of the Son of Man. You're going to bring forth, he that heareth the word and understandeth this revelation, it's time to bring forth a great harvest that can be harvested in a rapture. So Paul's saying in Hebrews chapter 6, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, and the musicians can go ahead and come forward, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what's his will? His will is his word. My wife and I were talking about somebody we know that had been praying, that they'd gotten in a real bad spot, and they were saying, don't pray that I be healed, but pray for the will of God. But what is the will of God? God wants you to be healed. And see, that's something that you can rest in. When you have an understanding that God wants you to be healed, then it banishes all the questions. And you're wondering, does God want me to be happy? Yes, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be well. So we'll leave you on that thought. God bless you. Amen.